As we approach one of the biggest shopping days of the year, Black Friday, many parents are eager to find the latest and greatest toys to buy as Christmas gifts.
But according to our next guest, there are still toys on short store shelves that are unsafe for kids. A new report lays out the most dangerous toys this holiday season and what you should stay away from.
Joining us now is Bruce Spate. He's the director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group. We've got a link to his group's report, Trouble in Toyland, on the Central Time Facebook page. Bruce, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the year 2013, at this point, we kind of assume that toys on store shelves are going to be safe, at least I do, but your report shows otherwise. So how widespread is the problem of unsafe toys?
Well, unfortunately, every year there are a number of toy-related injuries and even deaths that are reported to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. So we have seen progress over the years, a reduction in the number of toys that's being recalled and a reduction in the number of toy-related injuries, but they're still occurring. So we need to keep at it and not only make sure consumers and parents are aware of common hazards, but also fight for stronger standards to make sure that unsafe toys aren't ending up on the shelf.
Well, what are some of those common hazards that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, well, each year our report, Trouble in Toyland, looks at the data collected by the Consumer Product Safety Commission and, what are the hazards or the injuries that are being reported. And this year we highlighted four hazards that continue to really pose hazards to our littlest consumers. And those four hazards are choking hazards, toxics in toys, magnetic toys, and excessively noisy toys.
Okay, so the one I guess that stands out to me the most is the toxicity stuff. Now, I know that a while ago we were getting a lot of news stories about unsafe levels in products from China. That doesn't seem to be what's making headlines these days, but there still seems to be a lot of toxicity in toys that are out there. What sorts of things should we be aware of?
Yeah, well, this is a really important hazard to talk about, and it's one where we need strong standards in place because this is an invisible hazard. No parent or caregiver can look at a toy and know if it contains a toxic chemical. The most common toxic chemicals we're finding are lead, cadmium, antimony. These are all heavy metals that are toxic, but also phthalates, which are a PVC used to soften PVC plastics. So We are finding a number of toys in the market still that contain those toxic chemicals, and really the solution here is to make sure that we put in place strong standards that never allow a toy with a toxic chemical like lead or phthalates to end up on the shelf.
So, now, phthalates is, that's something that awareness is just cresting on in the last couple of years as people become aware that it's an endocrine disruptor, among other things. But lead and cadmium, why are these showing up in toys at all?
Yeah, I know. It is shocking. And as you pointed out, back in 2008, there was a massive recall of toys primarily from China that had lead in the paint and the surface coatings. And, fortunately, we have seen far fewer recalls for toys that contain lead, but it still occurs. And we really have made progress. In fact, this year is the first year in eight where we've seen a really dramatic reduction in the number of recalls. But it still occurs, and we have to remain vigilant and make sure that we're holding manufacturers accountable and that we're testing toys before they get to the market to prevent exposure to toxic chemicals.
Can you give us the names of a few toys that we should avoid?
Sure. Well, we did highlight 30 different toys in our report this year. In terms of phthalates, there was a Ninja Turtles pencil case that had 150 times the legal limit for phthalates. And our concern with this toy is that some might argue it's a pencil case, it's not really a toy, and so it shouldn't be regulated as a toy. But, of course, products like this can easily end up in the mouth of a younger sibling. And so we really think that standard should be applied even to a pencil case. And after all, it is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pencil case, so it would have appeal for young kids. But then we also found a Marvel Superheroes soft shield that had 2,900 parts per million lead, which is, the legal limit for lead is 100 parts per million. So, this is way beyond what's allowable. So, again, it's being vigilant and making sure that we're testing these toys before they get on the shelves and have the strong standards in place.
Now, we looked at some of the toxicity issues. You also look at choking hazards as well as noise hazards. So let's go to choking hazards. Now, these are toys which have little tiny pieces that can cause choking and sometimes death if we're not careful. What are you seeing out there in terms of choking hazards?
Yeah, well, this is a big concern. Every year, for many years now, choking has been the leading cause of toy-related injuries. And whether it's balloons or balls or a toy or even a part of a toy, which is what we most commonly find, kind of accessories to toys that can easily, you know, come off the toy or are separate from the toy that end up being small and pose a choking hazard. So we continue to see a number of those products that are really too small and pose a choking hazard. The way the law is written, if a toy fits within a choke test cylinder that's 1.25 inches in diameter, if it fits in there, it can't be sold for a child under 3. If it's intended for children between the ages of 3 and 6, it has to have a choke hazard warning, which listeners might be familiar with. It's a standard warning that appears on toys. And we've actually advocated for two strengthenings of that standard. One is let's make it a bigger standard because children are choking on toys that are near small parts. So, you know, they're not fitting in that choke test cylinder, but they still pose a choking hazard. And any rounded object, there should be a stronger standard for as well, because we know that balls and rounded objects pose a particular choking hazard. So we not only need to do work to make sure we prevent the toys which shouldn't be out on the market and pose a choking hazard from getting out there in the first place, but we also need to strengthen the standard to better protect our littlest consumers.
So if parents want to strengthen that standard, want more testing, what is the best avenue to take?
Well, this is really action that needs to be taken by the Consumer Product Safety Commission and by Congress. Our toy safety standards are written by Congress, and in fact, in the wake of the recall that occurred back in 2008 around lead and paint, some of these standards were strengthened, but not the standard for small parts. So, you know, we really need to contact our members of Congress and the Consumer Product Safety Commission and urge them to strengthen these standards. And one other tip I'd offer regarding choking, we urge parents to actually use something they can easily find at home to test for choking hazards, and that's an empty toilet paper roll. It is a little larger than the choke test cylinder, and of course, it's easily accessible for parents. If a toy fits in that, you certainly shouldn't give it to a child under 3, but really should be watchful for any young child with a toy that fits in that empty toilet paper roll.
And what are a few toys on the market that don't pass muster?
Yeah, well, we did find a number of them this year. There were a few Littlest Pet Shop toys, which, you know, are small little pets that children are buying that actually violated the choking standard. They weren't labeled with a choke hazard warning, and they were intended for children ages 4 and up. So, you know, really it's, and I should generally say, you know, our report is less about the specific toys that are listed and more about making sure that parents and consumers are thinking about these hazards when they're shopping for toys, keeping in mind that these are common hazards, things they should look out for, and really just to be vigilant and make sure they're not purchasing toys that might pose these hazards. I think at the end of the day, this is about using common sense and making sure that, you know, if a toy sounds too loud when you put it to your ear, you know, it's probably not going to be good for your child's ears. Or if it has small parts, you know, be watchful about that as well.
Right. And you mentioned noise and being too loud for our ears. And that's something that I think a lot of people wouldn't be that aware of, whether something's too loud. Kids' culture does seem to be loud these days. Why do we have to be worried about noisy toys?
Yeah, well, actually, noise is a big concern. The Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders estimates that 1 in 5 children has some hearing loss by the age of 12. We know that they're exposed to a lot of loud sounds, and certainly toys are one common source. We had 3 toys on our list this year, which exceeded the standard of 65 decibels for a toy 1 inch from the ear, and the standard of 85 decibels if a toy is measured 10 inches from the ear. So there are loud toys out there, and you know, it really is that, well, the best way to test is if it, again, sounds loud to your ear, then it's probably inappropriate for your child. But another thing parents can do is tape over the speaker or just take the batteries out if a toy sounds too loud and you already have it.
All right. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
We've been talking to Bruce Spaeth, the director of WISPRG, and we've got a link to the report, Trouble in Toyland, on the Central Time Facebook page.